Daniel?
Brady's in our Touch Points Rehab interview. Chair, Senator, good morning, and as always, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
How are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
You know, we've been talking about this whole situation, and I've said it, and Dan has talked about it as well. I don't see how there's any chance that he can be the Chief Justice.
Meaning Justice McDonald. What are your thoughts on this, Senator?
Well, you know, I think we have to do our due diligence and review the cases. I certainly have some serious questions, some of which were answered at the public hearing in front of judiciary, some which have not been answered, and I plan on meeting with Justice McDonald either the end of this week or beginning of next week. Certainly, the Gail Sosberg affidavit raises a whole series of temperament questions, and it is remarkable to me how particularly folks in the Senate Democratic Caucus who are accusing people of not voting for McDonald, of being homophobic, which I find extraordinarily insulting, but have never even addressed some of the concerns raised by the affidavit where he's screaming and yelling at a woman in his caucus, in their caucus, and they seem to pay that no mind. But I think there's some legitimate questions as to his philosophy as a Supreme Court justice, going outside the record to justify his views, looking at issues above and beyond what is in the record, making factual determinations, which is not the purview of the Supreme Court. And one has to determine whether or not those have crossed the line. And if that is the direction, if you come to that conclusion that he has proceeded in that manner, then you have to conclude as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court that will be done on a routine basis. And the reason why one would do that, that is ignore the facts found by the trial court or, in fact, by a jury and manipulate them to fit your narrative, it is because you want to push your policy over anything else. And that's really scary. I think we saw a little bit of that in the death penalty case. And there's another case, these are obscure cases, but fundamental cases, the Point case, where they ignore, in fact, they go through the transcript to discredit the state expert arson investigator in favor of defense when the trial court found the opposite. Those are kind of scary positions, and I need to investigate it more into my caucus. But I do have very serious questions.
Senator,
prejudging.
Senator, as far as the public goes, as far as the information that we have, as far as what has happened, how can this man be the head of the Supreme Court in the state of Connecticut? I mean, I would think to Republicans at least, and to Democrats too. I mean, you know, this is not anything to do because he's gay. That's got nothing to do with my opinion. My opinion is what he has done on a couple of occasions that I don't think that he should be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Easy.
And it has nothing to do with his personal preference at all.
Of course not.
And that's the argument the other side is making, which is an unintelligent and, I would also argue, insulting argument. But then you move to the cases, which is where we are, and you got to read the cases. You take Gail Sosberg issue and you say, I get that. That's insulting, and that's a demerit against him. It shouldn't rise on fall on one issue either. I don't know the full background. I don't know his side of the story, although I will remark that in his decision to sit, he never disagreed with the facts as presented by Gail. There's a decision which he wrote and said, I'm not going to recuse myself. In that decision that he wrote, he never refuted the facts. He never said, I don't find that the facts presented by Gail comport with my remembering of the incident. So he never refutes the facts, which would mean he agrees with the facts, one could argue. But so that's one demand. Then you got to look at the true issue, I think, that's before us, which is what direction do you want a Supreme Court justice to move this court? And if it's an activist position, then I think he's shown that propensity. I don't believe a Supreme Court justice should be an activist judge. I think that that person needs to follow the law and follow the decisions of the lower court and rule accordingly. But an activist judge changes the facts to fit their narrative. And some of these cases, I think one can make a strong argument. That's what Andrew has done. And that's why I want to talk to Andrew and see if I'm leaning in that direction and see if that's a correct conclusion. This is an important position. We have to go carefully, and we have to go methodically. We can't just jump. This is going to take long consideration. I'm ready to talk to him about many of the facts in the case. But I have very, very grave concerns. But I have not concluded one way or the other at this point.
Senator, explain to our audience that the Chief Justice of the Connecticut State Supreme Court not only has a lot of power with the associate justices, but he oversees other aspects of the entire state's court system. Talk about that.
Yeah, so when you are a Chief Justice, not only do you pick who sits on cases and help determine who writes the majority opinion, all of which can have consequences, but also you're in charge of the entire system from soup to nuts, from personnel in court to clerks to what judges sit, where do they sit, what judges hear what cases, who those judges are, who are the chief judge in each one of the superior courts for each one of the dockets, civil docket, criminal docket. It is immense power, and therefore you also can control the policies in those courts. So if you were more lenient towards the criminal side of this, you could set policies with respect to bond. You could set all sorts of different policies with respect to pro se's, those who come in and defend themselves on the civil side and criminal side. It is a policy that would one Chief Justice can change the entire complexion of our judicial court. That's why you need to look at the cases very, very carefully to get a window to what this next Chief Justice would do, not only on cases, but throughout the entire judiciary system. That's the reason why I voted in favor of Senator McDonald, I should say Justice McDonald, becoming a justice. And there's a big difference between asking someone to be on your team versus asking someone to be your team captain. Those are two completely different roles. The latter shapes and molds the judicial system. That's an awesome power. So you got to get it right if you can. And we've had great chief justices in the past, and we need to just make sure we're making the right decision. That's why you got to know who this guy is. And Gail affidavit certainly plays a role in that decision. Sitting on the death penalty case plays a role in that decision. His concurring opinion, which I have very difficult time with for a number of reasons, plays a role in that decision. So all those things, because it has a great impact. You're absolutely right.
But how long, the thing that is bothering me, I mean, there's enough out there right now, including what happened to that senator. And I just cannot understand how you got to go through this and that. You've already mentioned all these things, and you've got a majority by one vote. I just don't know why it takes so long. I guess that's my question.
Well, the hearing tentatively is scheduled for next Wednesday coming up, the 7th of March. That's tentatively when Justice McDonald would appear on our calendar. Now, maybe it goes through the House first. I'm thinking that's what they're thinking, to get momentum, and then comes to the Senate and try to put as much pressure on the Senate. Between now and the 7th, they'll do everything to embarrass anybody who votes no, and that's just not going to work. Governor Malloy's tactic, and frankly, Senator Duff's tactic, not so much Senator Looney's tactic, because I think he has more respect for the system, but Senator Duff's tactic, when Senator Duff was asked yesterday, do you believe people voted against Senator McDonald because he was gay? He said yes. First of all, it's just so appalling. He needs to apologize.
Ridiculous.
He's been in that circle a long time. He's been up there a long time. He knows that's not how we react. and I'm embarrassed for him more than anything else, because it speaks to his inability to articulate any argument but a label argument. And I hope that he's smarter than that, but maybe I miscalculated that. So when you try to bully your way through, which is Governor Moy's tactic, and we saw that when the budget was done without him, we saw that whenever somebody challenges him, he decides to become a bully. Well, you cannot bully this thing through. I'm sorry. This has to be done, as I said, methodically, thoughtful, logical. And if you vote yes or no, you need to defend your decision one way or the other, not based upon label, but based upon what his obligation is to be a Chief Justice. That's the only issue before us. And that's the issue. My caucus is a very hardworking, intelligent caucus. They will read the cases, and most of them have, and the rest will. They will be educated in this, and they will make an informed decision which will benefit this state and which they can defend one way or the other when they're out in the public, and that's what they need to do. Throwing the label, saying you didn't vote for that person because they're a woman or they're a minority or they're sexual preferences is fundamentally wrong. That's never happened to that Capitol and never will happen in that Capitol. We're better people than that. We will make a decision based purely on the merits of who it was. They should not be shocked that Senator Justice McDonald is a close vote. When Justice Palmer went through both chambers, it was a close vote in judiciary, it was a close vote in the House, and the only reason why it passed the Senate was because it was a reappointment. And people believe we should not, frankly, fire somebody who's got 3 or 4 years left to his career in the Supreme Court. And he was being reappointed as a justice of the Supreme Court. He's just got 3 or 4 years left. He's done remarkable service to the state. We shouldn't toss him out now. That's just not right in equity. Senator, and he squeaked through the Senate in a bipartisan vote. Squeaked through. So no one should be shocked, because every decision, virtually every decision, if not every decision Palmer made, McDonald's been tied to the hip. So if they were against Palmer, they have to be against McDonald. It's the same decision, same philosophy. So no one should be shocked, not this governor, not Senator Duff, not Senator Looney. No one should be shocked. It's the same guy. And it barely squeaked through.
Senator, can
so
you
why
hear...
are they all in this awe of, oh, no, you have to be voting no because of this, that, and the other thing, when they voted no on Palmer? It's crazy. It's politics at its worst. I'm not playing in their game. They want to go play that game. That's up to them. They got to put their head on the pillow at night.
Senator, can you hang in for a couple of more minutes? We have a traffic update, but we have a couple of more questions. Terrific.
Sure.
Great.
Okay, that's great. Let's see, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock, and let's check the traffic. And Cindy, good morning again, and how does it look right now?
Good morning, Brad. Well, it is looking slow out there on 84th eastbound through Waterbury. Westbound, we had that crash cleared on the Middlebury, Southbury line near exit 16. Heading into Hartford, bumper-to-bumper traffic, exits 41 out to I-91 on 84 east, and westbound slowdowns Governor Street to Sigourney Street. Wolvercross Parkway southbound at the West Rock Tunnel has a crash. Just one lane is getting by. Heavy delays go back to Dixwell Avenue in Hamden as a result. And two westbound, bumper-to-bumper traffic through Glastonbury, more tie-ups as you approach the Founders Bridge. This report is brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. When danger is imminent, will you be prepared? Now, many mobile devices can bring you critical information from local sources you trust. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:07 with your next traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And thank you. Thank you very much, Cindy. And it's coming up to 10 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. This is quite a case. This is something that... the general public is getting involved with their ideas, and you know how I feel, and I feel very strongly about it. This is a powerful, powerful position, and I don't think that that this gentleman right now is qualified to be our Chief Justice.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with your Money Now.
The Justice Department says it will support local officials in hundreds of lawsuits against manufacturers and distributors of powerful opioid painkillers. The DOJ hopes to collect on any settlement payout that comes from the lawsuits. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the federal government has borne substantial costs as a result of the drug crisis, which claimed more than 64,000 lives in 2016. As the gun debate heats up following the massacre at a Florida high school, companies are under growing pressure to pick a side, whether to stand by the NRA or walk away. A boycott movement has prompted several companies to cut benefit discount ties with the NRA, while others are maintaining their deals. The decision to stay or go for many companies involves walking a fine line that can impact their image for better or worse. Crude oil down 10 cents at $62.91 a barrel. On Wall Street, futures are a little changed after stocks closed sharply lower yesterday. That's your money now.
This is Father Edna Donnelly from the Good News Fund. Let us pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Jesus, I love you more today than yesterday, less today than tomorrow.
Ed, get in here and shut the door.
What's up, boss?
What's up? You have to ask, Ed?
Yes, sir. Usually, sir.
Ed, you're naked as a jaybird.
Correctamundo, sir. Just as you ordered.
I what?
You told us Jimmy John's was going all natural, sir.
No, Ed. I told you our meats are now all natural.
Huh?
That's meats, Ed, not employees.
Oh, I get it now. It's our meats that are all natural.
Yes, Ed. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
How embarrassing.
No kidding. It's a good thing I got to you before your first delivery.
Yeah, well, I already spread the word, sir, and...
Naked?
Oh, no.
He's what? Naked?
Naked.
He's naked.
The Brad and Dan Show, the talk of Connecticut.
7:52, 8 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Well, Daniel, you know, another question. You wonder why it takes so long.
Well, I mean, you would hope that it takes long only from the perspective that you want each candidate to be fully vetted. But that said, joining us again is Senate Republican President Len Fasano about the nomination of Andrew McDonald, the Associate Justice, as the next Chief Justice of the Connecticut State Supreme Court. But, Senator, off of this affidavit that has been made public about Senator Gail Schlossberg, I believe, and the way I describe it, is being verbally assaulted by Associate Justice Andrew McDonald. Are you surprised that we haven't heard anything from Lieutenant Governor Nancy Wyman, or for that matter, Schlossberg's fellow senators, May Flexer and Beth Bayh, on this?
I am, you know, in a perfect world, I would be shocked. But in the world in which they live in, up at this dome, I am not. They're partisan. They're partisan. And it's not the issue. It's what political leverage they could gain by being on that issue. That's what it's about. I mean, these are the same people who didn't do anything against Commissioner Katz, right?
Right.
Who has a horrible record in DCF. Not one of them has raised their voice against Commissioner Katz. So, no, it doesn't necessarily shock. This is the same group that didn't say a word when Lawler, who's the head of the criminal justice under Malloy, attacked a woman who decided she was going to run for attorney general on a Republican ticket, and because she was a delegate in Washington for Trump, he called her a racist enabler.
Yep.
I don't know the difference between
what he's responsible for. I don't even want to talk about him, but look at what he's got people that should be locked up running all over Connecticut.
Yeah, but it was just like, so he called a woman running for higher office a racist enabler.
That's right.
And yet Beth Bayh is the head of an organization that's trying to get women to run for office. Mm-hmm. Flexer's saying we need more women to run for office. This woman runs for office. Lawler attacks her the day she announced. And they didn't come to her defense.
That's right.
They didn't say, hey, that was a lot of bounds. We want women to run for office, but I guess they only want certain women to run for office. They only want the women who think like them to run for office. They only want to defend women who think like them and go against others who they're going to go after who don't think like them. But if they're on the same team in terms of political thought, in terms of political agenda, well, then we're not gonna go after them. They're with our democratic progressive thought process, and that's what I find offensive.
Yeah.
So it isn't the issue; it's the political advantage you gain on the issue.
Well, this one here, as far as I'm concerned, hit you right in the face, smack in the middle of the face. And if you can't make a decision on what has already been given to the American public in Connecticut, then you're not doing your job.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I think part of the job is you need to fully vet each candidate. And I think that's what you're attempting to do, Senator, by reading the cases and also sitting down and meeting with Associate Justice McDonald.
And that's what I'm trying to do. You know, I've already read them through the cases that, and I've already told Senator McDonald last week what the cases were, 2 weeks ago what the cases were. And I'm going down a third time. And then I just want to review the tape again of the public hearing. I stayed up till 2 a.m. to listen to it, but I want to go back through it again, and I'll have more questions for him.
Okay. Senator, thanks as always for spending time with us, and we'll be following this story closely, and we'll chat again down the line.
Okay, thank you.
Great to have you with us. Yeah. Great. He is a terrific senator.
Well, and I think he's proving it by fully vetting Associate Justice McDonald's nomination.